Hey, good luck, everybody. And to tell you the truth, you know, Baruch Hashem, when I speak and give Torah, I think the last time I had any level of nervousness was probably at my bar mitzvah. I remember before my bar mitzvah drasha, I was mamish like shaking. I didn't think I'd be able to get up and get the words out. It's a few years ago. It's actually next week's my bar mitzvah parsha, so it's exactly, but I'm turning 42, so you could do the math. It's a few years ago. But tonight I was also nervous. And not nervous on any level as far as when we get to the actual shir and Torah and Chizuk Torah, that I always daven that Hashem should bring out the proper words, and they should be Dvar Mayotim Min Alev, and Dvar that are Nechnasim El Alev, words that we all grow from, Torah that we all grow from. And that I daven to Hashem, that's up to the Eibishter, Bezus Hashem. But more so for the Akdama of tonight's shir. I'm sure most of you know, or if not, you'll get to know, because the shir tonight is being given Leil Nishmas a Tzadekes. Leil Nishmas, a very special young girl who Hashem took from this world a little over a week ago. Shein La Huva Bas Yoyel. And just to say, the shir tonight was sponsored by four young men who got to know her over the summer. Four young men, four of my Talmidim, Eli Elias, Eli Rose, Yosi Wagner, Benji Katan. And that itself says so much. Meaning, here you are. And they wanted that there should be a schus for a neshama. She was a young woman, a young girl, and the Nashim Tzikanios, that our shir should be elevated, and should bring a schus to her neshama. But that alone says enough of the impact, or at least a part of the impact that this three-year-old girl made in this world. That she didn't just change the lives of all the women in Camp Ask, but all the men as well. Says something, but there's the reason I was nervous, because I know whatever I say is only going to be a tipa b'yam, is only going to be a drop in the ocean of doing justice to how special she was. But I'll try a little bit. Because Hashem gave a gift, a very special gift to this world, in Shein Dol Ahuva. Clearly a gift. Kulo neshama. Kulo neshama, just purely a neshama, purely a soul. Kaddush. The one word that would come out of her mouth, there was only one word that would come out of her mouth, the word Abba. She'd say it time and time and time again. Everybody that I spoke to, all that they tell me was that Abba, Abba, Abba. Could be on some level her biological father, but obviously we all know what she was talking about. That the only thing that was on her mind, the only thing that she was willing and wanted to communicate was Abba. And it wasn't even like what we call Avinu, it wasn't even what we call Hashem, all the Shemos that we use in davening. To her, it was my Abba. And all she could think about, that when you're cool on Neshama, she's Neshama, our Neshamas, we speak about this a lot, it's Chelek, we should all know, Chelek Elokam Imal, is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all she think about, she knows she was cool in a shama. It's Abba, Abba, Abba. Halavai, we in this room should be able to say, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that our time is up, that we've made any type of impact the way that she did. I don't believe in the history of the world there's been a three-year-old that changed the world more than she did. I don't think so. I don't think it's possible that there was a 3-year-old that changed the world more than she did. If we stop and just think about it. Just when I was told about her, I may have met her this summer. I can't say I recall. I was in Hask a few times. But my first reaction, what do you mean 3-year-old in Hask? Like, Camp Hask doesn't take 3-year-olds. There aren't 3-year-olds in Hask. So I'm pretty sure, I didn't call Rav Judah to confirm, but I'm pretty sure that she was like the youngest camper ever in Hask. And she impacted, if you talk to anyone, I know there are many in this room that were in Hask this past summer, you talk to anyone that was in Hask, she literally impacted and changed the lives of every single person in Hask. So to be 3 years old and be able to have an effect, as I said, this year tonight is Lunishmaser, but was wanted by some of the men in Hask, who seemingly had less of a connection on some level than the women, than the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, and some that are sitting in this room. What a gift. And you have to walk away. Those that knew her and those that didn't, that just heard of and learned from, walk away realizing Hashem gave this special gift, this special neshama, for us to change, for us to be reminded to be a kula neshama, reminded what's important in this world, reminded to focus only on ruchnius and not on the pettiness that sometimes we waste our time with. And reminded that it's oyom chesed yibana, reminded that our whole life is to give. There's so many people that she changed their lives to be givers, to be people that only wanted to give because of her. Shared with a few people in Erev Shabbos who I was talking to that, thinking back personally, I think that was the very first message that I ever shared in my life, speaking publicly. The very first time that I ever spoke publicly was about 30 years ago when my Aunt Ruthie was Nifteris. My brother had a sister who was disabled. My brother had a sister who would have been in Camp Hask, but there was no Camp Hask back in the day. My grandmother, who because of her daughter went into special ed and lectured throughout the world, had a doctorate in special ed, always wished that she would have had the opportunity to be in Camp Hask. And at her shloshim, when I was about 11 years old, if I'm not mistaken, at her shloshim, I spoke, and it was the first time I ever spoke publicly, and I spoke about, I still remember, how here was this neshama that Hashem gifted to this world to be a key for each and every one of us to get closer to Hashem. And that's who Shane DeLahuva was. You know, there's a song that now we could, those of us in this room could understand, who knew her. There's a song that A.B. Rattenberg wrote years ago, and I like alluded to this in Camp Hask this past summer when I was speaking at one time, and it seemed like nobody knew the song. I was a little bit taken aback, like it was written for Hask. It's a beautiful song, a small piece in heaven. So it says, there's a small piece of heaven in everyone's heart, a glorious gift from above. It will sparkle and shine if we each do our part to reach out and touch it with love. Even if you didn't meet Shane DeLahuva, if you just saw a picture of her, you saw her neshama sparkling and shining. But that was so much because of the people that were with her in Hask. That was so much because of those who gave and those who changed and those who grew. And therefore she lives on. And therefore maybe physically she was taken from this world, but she was never here physically. So nothing's really changed besides for those who loved her miss being physically with her. That's really all that's changed. Her neshama that was lent to this world, that same neshama is now up in Shemayim. It's all one. And we believe in that wholeheartedly. So Hashem decided she fulfilled that tafkid, and halavai, we should fulfill our tafkid in the way that she fulfilled our tafkid. Hashem decided that she changed all of us. And just to share how she changed all of us. How she was mechanich all of us. You know, it's interesting, I was thinking about it earlier today. The age of 3 is when the age of chinuch begins, in a certain sense, right? We all know at 3, A little boy will have an upshur, and that's when chinuch begins. The age of three. With Shendel Huva is the opposite. Chinuch usually means that's when the parents have the role and the obligation, the responsibility, to start educating the child. I think with Shendel Huva was at three, she became a machanech. Machaneches. That's when she started teaching the world and changing the world. And I just want to, if for those of us, just to hear, I'm not going to read the whole letter. But one of the Nashim Tikkanios, who was a counselor of her this past summer, Esti, wrote so beautifully this letter about her relationship with Shendel Huva. I just want to read you the last two paragraphs because I think it captures so much of who she was in this world, how she changed this world. And I'll tell you something. Like, I was reading through this letter, and I never had one of my biggest regrets in life was that I never had the opportunity to work in Ask for a summer. And I'll tell you, it was on Erev Shabbos, Friday. On Friday, a rabbi came over to me, a chashuv rabbi. And he came to lament that there was a Shana Aleph boy in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael who was being pushed already at this stage of the year to spend the summer as a counselor in Camp Hask. And he asked me, he's like, do you think that's right? Like, maybe he should be in a kolo for the summer, sitting and learning all summer. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, like, don't you think the yeshiva is wrong for starting to push the guys? And this guy is like a top guy. Maybe, like, as if this rabbi was suggesting, like, there's a more chashuv place for him to be. And I looked him in the eyes, this rabbi, and I said, listen, with all due respect, you know what I think about Talmud Torah. I hope this young man sits and learns, which not enough do, Shana Gimel and Shana Dalid, and sits and learns many, 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 many years and his whole life. But I also hope that my daughters marry chasanim that spent the summer in Camp Hask. Because you want him to learn Torah, and that's beautiful. But where is he going to learn to be a father, and where is he going to learn to be a husband? And where is he going to learn to give? And you don't learn that unless you exercise it and give of yourself in such a way. And there's nowhere I know of more than in Camp Hask. You learn what it is to be moser nefesh for others, to give to others, which is the foundation of the world. So yeah, I know there are some guys that are not fit to go to Hask, but I hope that every single one of my Talmidim, lichatchila, spends a summer in Camp Hask. And I know the issues, and I deal with all of them to help prepare them as far as being together with young women and finding time to sit and learn, because obviously that's difficult when it's a very, very long day. But are you kidding me? We should be thanking this yeshiva for pushing him. And then he should sit and learn Shana Gimel and Shana Dalet also to balance it all out. Don't get me wrong. Because this is what happens when someone goes to Camp Hask and spends a summer with Shendel Huva. This is what happens. Listen, and I was reading through this and just crying. Tears just streaming down my cheeks this past Thursday. And every single letter, every word that was written here, I even though I didn't work in Hask, I've spent much time in Hask over the years. And all my Talmidim and Talmidot, I know that every single person that spent a summer in Camp Hask this past summer, I don't know, could have written as eloquently, but feels exactly the same way of every single word written here. So she writes, when I daven Shemon Esrei, I daven for all my campers in Shema Kolenu. And that won't stop, even though Shendel is no longer in this oilam. She was the light of our lives. I think what gives me nacham is knowing that Shendel Huva Zatzal is now with Hashem right next to the Kisei HaKavod. I have no doubt in my mind that she was a malach from Kadosh Baruch Hu who was sent to this world to fill the biggest tafkid. Everyone she met has been influenced and changed for the better. This world has changed from Shendel. She made her mark at just 3 years old, and nobody will ever forget that. She's a special neshama that I thank Hashem for every day that he put her in my life. I don't understand how I was zoich to be able to be her counselor and know her for the last 3 months of her life. Me, I don't get how and I don't get why. but I do know I was lucky. Shandel is a chelik of me. She was and always will be. Shandel, my Sheshe, I love you so much. You were the most special person that I ever met. Thank you for coming into this world. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for making a difference. Thank you for teaching me what an Eved Hashem really is. Thank you for teaching me what Simchas HaChaim is truly about. Thank you for spreading your R. Thank you for changing Camp Ask. Thank you for changing your friends. Thank you for changing me. I can't wait to see you at the Gula, dancing with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash Bekarov. I love you, Esti. So what I know is that Shandel Huva, as I said, physically might no longer be in this world. Chazal says, Tzadikim afil b'sas al-chai. Tzadik's always continuously alive, even in their physical death. And how is that? Because they leave a legacy and they've taught so many people how to live their lives. Connected to Hashem and giving to others. So Shandel Huva is going nowhere. She's continuing in each and every one that knew her, that was impacted by her, that was changed by her. Until we're all Zaycha to be with her with Gula Shleima ben Heira b'Yemei. And I heard many times over the last few days from those who loved her so much, something that everybody in this room is thinking, and has been thinking their whole lives, but over the last couple of years more than ever, how much more so we're yearning for Gula. How much more so we're yearning for Mashiach and to be reunited with our loved ones, such as Shandel Huva. And each and every one of us, over this last year and a half, hasn't stopped thinking about that. With the craziness and chaos of the world, and specifically those of us in America that don't have the opportunity to even go visit Eretz Yisrael, how deeply we want to enter Eretz Yisrael. How deeply we want Geula. In the beginning of this week's parsha, just in a certain sense, just like added on all the pain. Because Hashem says to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzachom l'adcha b'yitzavicha l'artz shareka, leave your homeland. Leave Chutz Laretz to that place that I'm going to show you. And when you get there, when you get there, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Everything's going to be incredible. You read the Chazal, if you stay here, you're not even going to have children. You're going to have nothing. And what are we reminded? We're reminded of the Makar Brach of Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was told, what do we learn Chumash? You think we learn Chumash just because we want to, as history lessons? You think we learn Chumash to remember what once was? You think we learn Chumash so that I could, you know, go over the parasha with my children one day at the Shabbos table? We learn Chumash to change our lives. We learn, this is not a book of history. This is a book of Chayim, Eitz Chayim. So when I'm reading this Shabbos, as Avraham Avinu was told, leave Chutzlar to go to Eretz Yisrael, because there's where all the bracha is. There's where you're going to be great. There's where you're going to have a big nation. You know what Hashem's telling us? That's the Makar Bracha. You know what He's telling each and every one of us? What are you doing in Chutzlar? It's a big question. It's a big question. How can we be here? I'm here because you're here. That's where all the Kiddush is. And we see. Why is it the source of all Kiddush and all blessing? The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet, reminds us, teaches us, that there was the Evan Shasiya. The Evan Shasiya is the stone that is on top of Har Abayis, behind the Kaisel where we go Davin, which is where the Kiddush Kedoshim was. In that spot, Shemimena Hushtas Ha'olam, the whole world was created from that spot. Meaning that Makom, the Makom of Kodesh Kedoshim, is where the whole world was expanded from, was created from. So everything that that comes into this world. Everything that, all the bracha in this world, all that we want. You know where it comes from? You know when Makor is? From that spot, from Yerushalayim. From Makom of Migdosh. It's also where we were created from. Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayitzer Elokim as Adam, Ofer min Adama. Man was created Ofer min Adama. What does Rashi there say? Natal Ofro mimakom shenemer bo mizbach Adama. The Ofer, the dirt that created our body, was taken from the place of Mizbach, from the Mizbeach, the Makom of the Mizbeach. The Makom where the Beis HaMikdash stood, created the world, created man, created everything. The source of all Kedusha, all Bracha. That's where we all want to be. That's where we all should be. You know, make a bracha, Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz. Right, we heard this bracha at the Shabbos table earlier today, last night. Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz. Right, a lot of us don't like eating bread much during the week, right? We're all dieting, right, all the time. So bread, like that's the easiest diet is no bread, right? Like we all. But on Shabbos at least, right? Shabbos. Hamotzi Lechem. You ever think about Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz? Hamotzi Lechem, the one who brought out, who took out, was Motzi bread, min Haaretz, from the land. Shouldn't it be Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz? Why? That Heya idea is like, you get the land, like one place. Should be Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz, the bread that comes out of the land. We're thanking Hashem for the bread because it comes from wheat that grows in the ground. What do you mean min Haaretz? The land! The Tosha Rebbe Zeichas Adikash Vrach explains. Bread is a staple of all physical sustenance. Bread represents all that we want physically. All the materialism of life, all the everything that we want physically, all that we need in this world. You know where it all comes from? You know where the source of all the brach of the world is? Haaretz. What's Haaretz? The land, Eretz Yisrael. Every time we make a bracha, Ma'ati Lechem in Haaretz, we're recognizing that all the bracha of my life comes from Eretz Yisrael. It's all based there. We have to believe that. But the Kedusha's Vad is still there. It's not only when there's a Makom HaMikdash. It's not only when there's a Beis HaMikdash. There's a famous idea. The Chazal that says, "Kol Amisavel Yerushalayim Zoiche V'Roya B'Simchasa." Anyone who's an Avel and mourns Yerushalayim, like we do during the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Tisha B'Av and some throughout the year, there are those tzaddikim every single night that say Tikkun Chatzos and mourn the Beis Hamikdash. Literally, if you go by the Kaisel any night by Chatzos, there are Jews sitting on the floor with their shoes off, crying about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So Gemara says, "Call him as Avel or Shulayim." Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, Zoiche v'Roa b'Simchasa. Zoiche v'Roa b'Simchasa. So, how would you translate that? Most of you, very loosely, seemingly, would say, "Will merit and see the Gula," right? But what should it say? If that's what it means, it should say, "Yizkeh v'Yireh." Will merit and we'll see in the lashon asid in the future tense. Why does it say if you mourn zolche v'ra? Right then you're zolche and see the gula. I've sat on the floor Tisha B'Av. We've all sat on the floor Tisha B'Av. I've sat in this room Tisha B'Av many times in my life. I haven't been for many years. You used to be in with Eish Kodesh with Moshe Weinberger and Tisha B'Av in this room. Maybe some of you were in this room on the floor Tisha B'Av. Yet we haven't been zolche the gula yet. What do you mean Zolcha V'Roa in the present tense? What does that mean? Why Zolcha V'Roa? It should be, okay, Hashem will say, you'll be Zolcha. Yizke, you will be Zolcha. This is an incredible idea. Yaakov Avinu was mourning for 20 years the death of Yosef, right? 20 years he thinks Yosef HaTzadik is dead. The brothers all say he's dead. They bring him, so in his pasim, full of blood. Right, we're gonna chazer this again in a few weeks. Mirtz Hashem.
Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu generally gives this incredible bracha and matana that none of us should ever know. And this is a bracha and matana, although some of us need to know these days in a different light based on what some have gone through as we started this shir. But it's a bracha of nechama. Hashem gives a process for someone to lose a loved one with shiva and shloshim and to be able to have nechama. And those who need it should be zochet to that nechama and feel that nechama. Yet the pasuk says, "By Yaakov Avinu, vayimayin lisnachim." He refused to be comforted. He mourned for 20 years Yosef's death. Really? Why did he mourn for so long? He's a tzaddik. Should have said, "Baruch Dayan Emes," sat shiva, cried the way you're supposed to, and said, "Hashem runs the welt. I'm okay. I know Hashem has a plan. He's orchestrating it all. You're not supposed to mourn for that long." And Hashem gives a bracha not to have to mourn for that long. Why do you refuse to be comforted? You know why he refused to be comforted? Because Yosef was alive. The bracha of nechama and the zchus to have nechama is when you need it, but the truth was Yosef was still in the world. And therefore somewhere deep within the unconscious state of mind of Yaakovino, he felt that and knew that. So he couldn't be comforted. He wanted to be reunited, which he ultimately was with Yosef Tzadik. Imagine that moment. What an inspirational, emotional moment that we're going to read in a few weeks. That moment when they're reunited, father and son. But that's why he couldn't be comforted, because there was no real loss. There was no real death. That we still mourn Yerushalayim for 2,000 years? Why are we still mourning? Enough, nechama. It's okay, Baruch Dayan Emes. We'll move on. By the mere fact that we're still mourning, that we had a Tisha B'Av a few months ago, hopefully never again, but that we had a Tisha B'Av a few months ago, you know what that tells me? It must be the Kedusha is still there. It must be the Kedusha is still there. Because if it's gone and finished, okay, I come to just accept nechama. If we mourn and continuously mourn because there's no we lost the connection, we want to be reunited, but we know it's still there. The Kedush of Eretz Yisrael is still there. And every one of us feels it. And every one of us knows it. And the bracha that comes from it is still there. You stand and daven by Koisel Maravi, it's a different tefillah. It's a different tefillah. It's a Betherish Medrash. The Medrash says in Shmos Rabbah, Borei ma Koresh Omer. Look what Koresh said. The Pasuk says in Ezra, Hu ha'alokim asher bi Yerushalayim. The God that's in Yerushalayim. Afal pishu chariv helokim enu eno zoz misham. Even though it's destroyed, God has not left there. And where specifically, Rav Acha continues, la'olam ein hashchina zoz mikoisel maravi. Don't think that's just a wall. The shchina hasn't left the koisel. And we feel it, we know it. We feel it, we know it. Makar bracha, makar kedusha. That's why Avram Avinu is told, "Lech lecha me'artcha, go where I'm going to show you." That's where you'll get bracha. That's where you'll have children. I've shared before. I have a very close friend who years ago, now he lives in Eretz Yisrael, but when he lived here in America, came from a very wealthy family that he was able to do this. Whenever he had a big decision to make, he'd first get on a plane, go to Eretz Yisrael, sit in Yerushalayim a couple days, and then make the decision. Because I only have clarity the way I should, and I can feel what Hashem wants from me when I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I sit by the Kaisel. I'm going to make decisions here in Chutz Laretz. Imam used to do that. Now I understand that after learning this week, this Torah, they prepared to share with us together, I understand in another light. Not just the clarity is there, that's so true. The bracha is from there, the kedusha is from there. If it's going to be a good decision, it's got to stem from Eretz Yisrael. Just on Erev Shabbos, minutes before. It was earlier. It was in Erev Shabbos. No, this was Thursday night. Thursday night, around 6:30, a Talmud of mine, it was 1:30 in the morning. He's in Eretz Yisrael learning. He called me that he wanted to. Earlier in the day, he reached out a few days. When could we talk? Because he has a big decision he has to make, and he really has to make it within the next few days. Second year learning in Eretz Yisrael.
he decided already he wants to live the rest of his life in Israel. He might have to come back here for college, or whatever. That's a discussion. That's a side point. Deciding now if he should go into the army or not. Whether he should join the army. Some of the Rebbeim tell him just sit and learn. Part of him really wants to go into the army. So I spoke out with him, the Ma'ilas, the Chasronos. And ultimately, personally, how I left it to him, I wasn't going to make that decision for him. There's a lot of Ma'ilas to go into the army, and it's something incredible. But there's a lot of Chasronos. So little time to sit and learn, and Yiddishkeit is very difficult, and it's many years that you're pushing off your life. But to protect Eretz Yisrael, to protect Klal Yisrael, to protect Eretz Yisrael, to be the reason why we can all learn in Eretz Yisrael and visit Eretz Yisrael. You hear, but this has very strong sides on this. And basically how I left it, I spoke out all the Milos and Chasronos on both sides, and I told them, in the end of the day, I tell you, if your heart of hearts, you really believe that's what your tafkid is, that's what Ratzon Hashem is for you, then you should do it. But only if that. Don't do it because other people are telling you to do it. Don't do it for, there's a lot of other reasons he brought up that I don't think were good. If you really believe that's your tafkid, and that's your Ratzon Hashem, and that's, then do it and you'll be matzliach and you'll sit and learn many years and you'll see. You have to, so he said to me, Rebbe, I'm not sure. I said, I'm not making this decision for you. You know? So he says, how am I going to make the decision? I said, how are you going to make the decision? This is Pasha. You have this chus to be in your Shalai Mer Kodesh, and you have this chus, it's Shabbos coming up in a few days, in a few hours, whatever, it was late Thursday night, in a half a day. I said, you're going to be Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaZman. I said, where are you going to be for Shabbos? He said he's going to be in Ramat Eshkol for Shabbos. I said, all right, listen to me. You go through Shabbos and you daven throughout Shabbos. And then Matzei Shabbos, after Shabbos, you go sit by the Kaisel. And you're going to have Matzei Shabbos as an extension of Shabbos. So you're going to have Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaZman. And just talk to Hashem. And ask Hashem what's Emes for you. And you'll see, you'll know. Okay, I don't know the end of the story. This was tonight. I didn't speak to him yet. This was tonight. But I deeply believe he's going to have clarity from it. We'll see. I'll let you know next time. It's Eretz Yisrael. So why are we talking all this? Was this meant? Was this like, you know, Nefesh B'Nefesh called me yesterday to hire me to give the speech to all of you? Not at all. And the emes is, I do feel it's important to talk about going to Eretz Yisrael. And our thralls on all of our minds. And I do believe strongly every one of us should think seriously about living in Eretz Yisrael. And that should be the default. Not all of us have an achrayas and a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if you don't, you have to have good reason, not the opposite way. Not just because I was raised in Chutz La'aretz, so I live in Chutz La'aretz, and that's my status quo. Unless, like, I'm zoichet, someone calls me and has, like, the most perfect apartment in Rechavia that they're going to give me for free, and my husband's going to have the perfect job. No. It shouldn't be like, it should be, I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. I hope to live in it. If you have good reason to live here, and if good, beautiful, wonderful, of course. So what about, what's the chizik to us who don't yet live in Eretz Yisrael and may not? And maybe that's not our tafkid. Again, it's not the tafkid for everybody. Was it sheer just to like bring us to tears and feel like a bit the Evidika lifestyle? Like, and I'm not going to have brach in my life because Avram was told, Lech lecha me'aretzcha, and that's what. So I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to live in America and not have a great life. Is that what was meant? Chas v'shalom. That's not what I'm about. Those who know me. And again, I wouldn't give such a year. I don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I yearn to. And I believe deeply this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be. I think about it every day of my life. But what am I going to. I gave this whole shiur so I stay up all night crying also. It's not what it's about. Where's our chizuk come from? I saw this Torah this week, and I was so excited to share with each and every one of you, and share with myself, because this is the biggest chizuk I've gotten in this area, in the longest of time, we all need this chizuk. Again, I think about this every day of my life, if I'm making that right decision. So what's our chizuk while we're here? How could I tap into all that bracha? Because I want all that bracha too. I want to have beautiful children, and I want, right, I want I want all that too. But Hashem said that's only in Eretz Yisrael, Avram. So what about me? What about Aryeh Cohen who's not in Eretz Yisrael? Throw in the towel? No, I want that too. So I saw this Torah from the Tasha Rebbe, Zeches Tzadik Lechem Veracha. Changed my life.
There's a Gemara, a Mishnah, an Erevin. And the Mishnah says, Misha Baba Derech V'Choshkelo. There was a person walking Erev Shabbos, and it was about to become Shabbos. Now let me give you another halacha, just a chazer for those of us in need. Just quickly the chazara. The halacha of Tchumim on Shabbos. We're not used to this halacha at all. We hardly know about this halacha. The reason is because in our communities it really is not applicable. It's not practical. But it could be practical if you're upstate, if you're... Basically, that from your settled land that you're living in, you're only allowed to walk up to 2,000 amos out of there on Shabbos. So none of us ever deal with this shaila, pretty much. Because we live in cities where this doesn't really apply. But imagine if you went away, this is a emes de kalacha, if you went away upstate for a Shabbos and you like rented a house somewhere, or you went even to a camp or a bungalow colony or whatever, and you want to take a walk out of the camp, out of the bungalow colony, out of... And it's really, it's there alone, and there's nowhere else, no other inhabited houses or anything else near you. So the halacha would be, you're only allowed to walk 2,000 amos out of that. Ba'al Echves, there's 2,000 amos, is like, I don't know, 3,600 feet. It's a nice distance, whatever it will be. But that's it. But that takes effect from wherever your makom of settling is for Shabbos. So wherever you decide that's your makom, you have 2,000 amos in every direction. So this person's walking, but he realizes Shabbos is coming, and he's still far from his house. And he's not going to be able to, where he is, when Shabbos begins, he's going to be more than 2,000 amos, let's say, from his house. He's not going to be allowed to walk to his house. He's going to be stuck for Shabbos, like in the middle of the forest. So here's what you could do, an incredible halacha. And let's say he's like, I don't know, 4,000 amos from his house. And he wants to be able to get to his house. V'hayamakir ilon agadar. He sees in the distance, and very far, it's an open field, he sees in the distance a tree, or a fence, like 2,000 amos away from him. So that's as far as he could walk, really, once Shabbos hits. But he could decide in his mind, if he does this before Shabbos, that that's my settling point for Shabbos. That's my makom. He's deciding, since he could see it in the distance, and he has machshava, he's going to decide, that's my settling point, that's my house, that's my makom for Shabbos. And then what he gets from that is, if he says, Shivisasi bi karo, my settling point, my resting stop is that root, that trunk, that tree. Mahalich mimakum ragla vadi karo alpayim ama. You can go 2,000 amas till that place, till that tree. Umei karo vad beso alpayim ama. And then that place became your settling. So you have another 2,000 amas to get to your house. You could extend and make that your place. And you end up getting 4,000 amas. That's the halacha. Very interesting halacha. Comes a Tashi Rebbe, and you need someone like a Tashi Rebbe to learn. What is Ma'inyan Shemitah Zeshdinei? What does this Gemara have anything to do with what we're talking about? You know, Shkoyach teaching a little Hilchos Shabbos here tonight. That's very nice. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But what does that have to do with what we're talking about? So you need a tzaddik like Tashi Rebbe to open up our eyes. He says, you know what you learned from this Gemara? You learn from this Gemara that you are where your mind is. You are where you want to be. You learn from this Gemara. What happened to this Gemara? This guy is 2,000 amos from that tree, but he wants to be there. And he decides, that's my settling point. That's my inhabitation. That's where I am. You know what happens? That then halachically, that's your makom. That's your place, and you get 2,000 amos from there. So if we could sit here in Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, in Woodmere, New York, in Eish Kodesh. And this is just a shul in Woodmere, in the Five Towns. But my heart and my yearning desire is to be in Yerushalayim. My heart and my yearning desire is to be home in Eretz Yisrael. That's my home. That's where I want to be.
I'm here because of, I have to be here because of my family, because of school, because of dating, because of parnasa, because of children, because of whatever the reasons, and they're good reasons. But my heart of hearts, it's not where I want to be. I wish all those reasons were taken care of so I could be there. I want to be there. I wish I could be there. I wish right now I was standing by Kaisel Maravi. That's where my heart is. That's where I want to be. So you're there. So you're there. And all the brachos of Eretz Yisrael, and all the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and all the shefa of Eretz Yisrael, you could gain the same way here. Because it's Kehilu, you might be physically standing in the five towns, you're there. The Eibishter lifts you up, you're there. You're Yishalmi Dikiyid. You're Eretz Yisrael Dikiyid. You're not here. I live there. I'm just physically here for now. I live there. Because that's where my heart is. Libya B'Mizrach. We have to live like that. It gives us all the chizik in the world. And we have to believe, then we could be zoiche to all the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the brach of Eretz Yisrael, all the shefa, all that we loved so much when we were living there for a year, for 2 years, every one of us. All of that, that was so special. We could have it here too, and we have to believe that. And again, not to say, oh, shkoyach, to be so strong that I shouldn't want to be there physically. If we really want it, this will only work if I do want to be there physically. Because otherwise those are sheker sheifas. Sheker machshavas. It has to be a real machshava. I really want to be there. My mind is there, my heart is there. I'm there already. I'm there. I think the Rabbanu Shlom years ago, I probably shared this story once before with the Chevra, but when I saw this, I was thinking of the story. Story happened 13 years ago. I know it was 13 years ago. I'll explain in a moment why. It was the first year of Zoyche to start going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur. Until these last 2 years, which have been very difficult. And Mirchem never again being Chutz Lars for Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur fell out the same way it did this year. On a Thursday. Shared some stories from that particular trip already. I think you didn't hear a few weeks ago, but... So I stayed, I was going to stay for Shabbos as well. After Yom Kippur, and I got back here Sunday morning for Sukkot. So that Shabbos, my close friend Josh Shapiro had his first baby boy. Whoever knows Mordechai Shapiro, it's his older brother, Josh. And Josh made a Shalom Zacher Friday night. And the bris, I was zoiched to be by the Shalom Zacher, I was zoiched to be by the bris. The bris was a Shabbos bris. That's why you know it was 13 years, because he just made a bar mitzvah for this boy. A few weeks ago. So what happened was, it was a Friday night, I eat, when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I eat Lel Shabbos by Yedid Nafshi, Rav Yol Rakovsky, who lives in the old city, is a Rav in the old city, who's mamish, the most special student in the world. I can't explain to you what it's like. Sit in the beautiful apartments in the old city with the dome ceilings, and about an hour in, all the lights go out. It's just you're sitting by candlelight and just singing, and you don't want to be anywhere else in the world. The suda goes long, so until I was with a bunch of Talmidim, and they also knew Josh. We walked from the old city to his apartment in Shari Chesed. We were there for a while, singing and Torah, and probably left around like 1:30 in the morning. A little, maybe 1:15, 1:30. We're walking back, and I was staying for that trip in what used to be the Plaza, now it's the Leonardo. I'm sure the Chevra knows that, you know, the very, very tall hotel that's right across from the Great Synagogue. And I was staying on the top floor. And myself, just for myself, I don't like to take Shabbos elevators. Again, I'm not paskening. It's halachic. I let my family even take Shabbos elevators. I'm not saying it's usher. Personally, I just don't like the feel of being in a Shabbos elevator on Shabbos. So I don't take Shabbos elevators. And I remember this. It was like, you know, it's one of those trips. I haven't slept in like 2 days. And it's Lel Shabbos. And I get back. I'm walking with like five Talmidim. They're going to all be walking back to the old city. They're learning in the old city. Or in Shiva and the Tavari, other places.
and we're walking by, and I'm about to get it. And I remember this like yesterday. It was a hot day, a hot night also. You know, it's a good time in Eretz. And I look up, and I started thinking about climbing all those stairs. I'm like, there's no chance. I'm just not doing it. So my second thought was, okay, I'll just like go to the couch in the lobby and sleep for the night. That wasn't happening either. And it was my last night. The next night I was getting on a flight, Matzah Shabbos. I said to myself, it was my last night in Eretz Yisrael. You know what? Forget about going up. Forget about it. I got to go back to the Kaisel and just daven. Excuse me, Lel Shabbos be at the Kaisel. In two nights, I'm going to be back in Chutz Lartz. I'll be thinking about how I should have been by the Kaisel more and just daven and take an opportunity to say, so tell the guys, you know what? I'm coming with you. And we walk back to the old city. We get there around 2 in the morning. We all go down to the Kaisel. And the Kaisel, 2 in the morning on Lel Shabbos, is like the most empty it ever is. You can imagine, right? Because the only people that are there are the people walking distance. 2 o'clock in the morning, Friday night. There were literally about 7 other people there. The whole Kaisel. So we all break up and we sit in different places, davening, learning, whatever it was. And suddenly, I see this Yid, he's in there, Shalmi Bekesha and Estrayimel. And he starts dancing by himself. But it was interesting. Like, dancing by himself, but in a circle. Like, he was with other people. Maybe he thought he was. I don't know. But it was like, and there was something about it that was just so holy. And so you felt it. And I'm sitting, like, you could imagine, in the middle of the plaza, like, 15 feet behind him, and just taking it in. I'm like, I wanted to feel the Kedusha. There was something about it. So I decide I'm going to just go close to the Kaisel and just die, like, pretend I'm davening. But just to be close to him, because otherwise, like, just staring at him is awkward, right? So he'll think like I'm davening, and he'll just to feel the Kedusha. And it was awesome. And suddenly, like, one or two other people join him, and they start dancing together. Once other people join, so I join him. And then all the chevra that I brought join. And there we were. There were probably about 10, 11 people, 12, I don't know, at the Kaisel. And every person that was at the Kaisel were all dancing together in this dance. And you look around, it was like he's this chassid and myself and my talmidim and of course one or two with the kotel yarmulkes. You know, it was like every type of yid in that small little circle. But it was the most beautiful tanses of my life. There was no one else at the kaisel but this tanz. And I still remember we were singing a brez of a nigin. He was a brez of a chassid. We're singing that for like 15, 20 minutes. So beautiful. And then we end the dance and we just say good Shabbos to each other, and that was it. Ended up davening a little longer. Ended up walking back to the plaza. I said, I need the bed. And I leave the next night. And that dance stuck with me. Everyone that was part, all my talmidim, like, there was something so special about that. That dance, Lel Shabbos. And okay, I come back to America and Sukkot. And I was going back to Eretz Yisrael Thanksgiving. I got in the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I had my Achnas Sefer Torah, 2 Achnas Sefer Torahs during that weekend. Wednesday night, Thursday night. So it was really Chavesh, 2 months later, whatever, 2.5 months later. 3 months later. And I get back to Eretz Yisrael. Hope to go to for Thanksgiving in a few weeks. I have a ticket, we'll see. Davening, finally be let in. But anyways, I get there on a Wednesday. Again, it's Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. I have this Achnas Sefer Torah in Bnei Brak, so beautiful. And I finally get to the old city to go to the Kaisel. Again, it's like 2 in the morning. It's my first time back at the Kaisel from that night, 3 months later. And that night, for some reason, I don't remember why and what it was, but it was like packed by the Kaisel. Even though it was 2 in the morning, there was a lot of people there. And I'm walking in to finally go down to the Kaisel for the first time in 3 months. It's always like that special feeling, right, the first time. And this chassid comes over to me. And he says, Shalom Aleichem, ata zocher oti. You remember me? And I'm looking in. I never saw this guy before in my life. I'm like, okay, you know, it's Yerushalayim. A lot of yid in there. A lot of interesting yid in there. And he looks at me. He's in a black kapata and a hat. And he says, all he has to say, Harikud, Lel Shabbat. The dance, Friday night. And it all came back. It was that chassid. That chassid. He didn't look the same. He didn't have his Yerushalmi, Bekesha, and Strimal. And we immediately just take each other's hands and start dancing again. Right there, it was by the plaza before you get into the kotel, we start dancing again. To the same song. Shirula, Zamrula, same song. We just start dancing. We dance for a few minutes and then we talk. His name, of course, was Nachman. And he gave me his number. I've never seen him again or never spoken to him again. But it was the most incredible thing, right? It was like, here I was 3 months earlier at the Kaisel, and I'm dancing with this chassid. 3 months later, the very first person I see at the Kaisel is the same exact chassid, who I've never seen again in my life. What are the chances? The chances are very simple. In Yiddishkeit, it's just Eibishter. There's no like chances, yes, no. It's whatever the Eibishter wants, right? But it's beautiful. What was Eibishter telling me? What was Eibishter telling Aryeh Cohen by this? It's always felt. You know what he was telling me? You never left Eretz Yisrael. It's like the same place I left was the same place I came back to. You might be in America because you need to be there for whatever reason, but you're here. And I'll prove it to you. Look, it's like Kiila, the same moment. Nothing happened in between. Just continue to dance. It's all one. And each and every one of us can be there. Each and every one of us can be there. And each and every one of us need to feel that we're there. And then we're zoichet to all the kedushin, all the bracha, v'avrecha, v'gadol shemecha, v'ebracha, el haaretz asher eka, to the place. It's so interesting. Did you realize? Hashem, these are the opening words to Avram Avinu. The opening words to the very first Jew is get out of chutzor to go to Eretz Yisrael. Those are the opening words. So we might not be able to physically do that yet. But can we do it b'machshava? Can we want to be there? Can we yearn to be there? And we zoichet all the brother, el haaretz asher eka. But you know what's incredible? He doesn't say go to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't say go to the Makom Migdash. He says, he alludes to it, El Arts Shareka. So it's wherever I show you. So maybe it could be even in Chutzlar, it's in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't ever say there. We are where we want to be. And that's true in our growth as well. Sometimes we're not happy with where we're holding and we say, I could daven better and it could be nice. And so Bilt Sheif is yearning and want to be more. You want to be more, you're there already. Just a matter of putting it into action. That's what the Gemara, that's what Tasha Rebbe is saying, this Gemara is telling us about Tchum Shabbos. You are where you want to be. We are all Eretz Yisrael Diki Yidden. We're just physically living here for the temporary time, but we're just visiting. We live there. This is not our home. These are our houses. Our home is there. And we have to want it. We have to think like that. El Archer, our echo is Gematria 222, exactly Gematria Barech. That's where all the brach is. But we could be there even physically being here if we want to be there, if my heart is there. There was once at a chasana. So you know the chasanas, so the men get together to daven and they make minyanim. And there's always like a hack. Which way are we supposed to face? Which way is we're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael, Yishlayim, Mizrach? Where's Mizrach? It's always like a hack. Which way is Mizrach? So now, in today's day and age, everybody has their iPhone and you have a compass and everybody's taking it out and trying to... I don't know. I still today don't know how that exactly works. You have to hold it here, hold it there, but... There was once a chasana and they were putting together a minyan and they didn't know which way was Mizrach. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Zeche Tzadik HaShvarach, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Shiva Chaim Berlin... Rav Huttner was part of this minyan, and they wanted to know which way is Mizrach. Nobody had a compass. There were no smartphones in those days. So he said, simply turn. Simply just turn around until you start to feel your heart beating faster. And you know you're facing Eretz Yisrael. You know you're facing Yerushalayim. Feel it. That's the Yid who wants to be there. My heart is there. I feel it. I feel the connection. We have to live like this. Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zeche Tzadik HaShvarachah. Rav Gifter was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells in Cleveland. But at one point he went to Eretz Yisrael, lived in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of years. And then he came back to America, whatever the reasons were. When he moved back to America with his Rebbetzin, he didn't move back into his house in Cleveland. he moved back to an apartment in the yeshiva dormitory of Tells. Rav Gifter said, I cannot live in a permanent home anymore in Chutz Laretz. I just can't. I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. With tremendous mesiras nefesh, of course, the rabbis didn't agree. That's how they lived the rest of their lives. There's no permanency here. So, chevra, Amir Tashem, we're going to be zoicha, bekarov, to all be in Eretz Yisrael. Amir Tashem, we're going to be zoicha to the gula, and that the gula will be tchis amesim, together with all that we want to be reunited with, to be taunting again and holding again, Shein Dol Huva, and all the tzaddikim, zikanios that we miss and that we love. But until that time, we have to live b'machshava there. Live in that zman. You know, even with geula, we live, right, in Tehillim, we say you can live a life of chaye olam haba, life of olam haba. You can live it now. When you're mizdabik to Hashem, when you want to be with Hashem, when you want to be with the Rabbi Nishalom, you want to be with Ruchnias. If we want to be in Eretz Yisrael, but really want it, we're there. And if we're there, we'll be zoicha to all the brachas, fei bracha. Each and every one of us is zoicha to those brachas, the brachas of Shefa, of Kedusha, the brachas begashmi baruchni. Have an easy time with Yiduchim. Have an easy time with Parnasa. To always have Simchas Achayim. Now already. Till we're zoicha bez Hashem, not just baruchni and not just b'machshava, but to physically as well be zoicha to Gula Shema. Mishmashiach Zekeinu, Tzchias HaMesim, B'kara B'yameinu. Just have a beautiful, incredible week.